Let's take your Bibles and turn to the book of John today. We're going to be looking at quite an interesting passage. Let's stand, all right, as we will read John chapter 5, verse 1 to verse number 9. A familiar passage of a story, but we want to look specifically at what God has for us today. John chapter 5, verse 1 to 9. John chapter 5, verse 1 to 9. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, until we finish at verse number 9. Okay, and the Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse number 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, verse 2. And in this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water, verse 4.
For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was the shape of whatsoever
disease. A certain man was there, which has an infirmity, a disease, an illness, 38 years, verse 6. Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Verse 8. Verse 9, let's read together. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. It's a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we look up to You for help, Lord, in our situations, for grace in times of need, for mercy while when we need it, Lord, for encouragement when our hearts are down, we know, Lord, that You have put Thy Word to be an encouragement to us, because the Bible tells us that Thy Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It is a joy and a rejoicing of our hearts. Book of Jeremiah tells us, Lord, we pray, today we will look to Your Word for our encouragement, our strength, and our help. When we pray, Lord, if there's one person who do not know Christ, I pray that today he may see the immense love of Christ coming out, Lord, from when Jesus helped this man, and how we can also apply to that help, because, Lord, You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we praise You. We serve a living God, a God that is still alive today, a God that is able to change our life and pattern it after the abundant life that You have so desired for us. We pray for anyone or everyone, Lord, who comes here with a need or thought in their heart that they cannot get any help. Father, I pray they will look to You for that help. For the rest of us as believers, I pray You will lift us up, Lord, to see the situation and the reality of people who are long time needing help. And this man said there was no man to help him. Father, we pray that You will put a compassion in our hearts for the people around us, that we might lift them up. We might not judge them, but we might lift them up based on Your love, with Your strength, by Your grace, through Thy Spirit, and with the guidance of Your Word. Lord, thank You for what You're going to do. We pray that You would speak to us in our hearts, through Your Word, in a special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please receive that. Okay. John chapter 5 is a familiar passage, a familiar story for many people. I'll just go through it briefly to give you a background. The Lord Jesus Christ was on His way to Jerusalem. All right, and as he was going there, he went to this place. There was a pool, and the pool's name is called Bethesda. Okay, within this, around the pool, there was 5 porches, and around the different, around within the porches, the Bible says there were many multitudes of people that were there. People who were paralyzed, people who perhaps had serious illnesses, that just can't seem to get any help. There were people who were handicapped and basically bedridden. And many times in Jewish culture, they will bring a person in daytime to a place, hopefully to get help. They come, they bring them back. The next day, they bring them back again. All right? And so there was this porch. Now, Bethesda, the name, the Bible gave us, it was the name Bethesda. It's a wonderful name. You know what the meaning of Bethesda is? Can anyone tell me what's the name of Bethesda? It is called the House of Kindness. It is called the House of Kindness, the House of Mercy. The pool is called the House of Mercy. Now, it is interesting because it is called the House of Mercy because in verse number 3, at the end, many of these impotent folk, people who are weak, people who have problems, people who are paralyzed, can look forward to some sort of help. According to the Bible, and I was just studying the word, it says, at a certain season, there will be a stirring of the water. And once the water is stirred, and they know something is happening, apparently to some people, there's some medicinal value in the water. All right, but it's interesting, the Bible didn't mention medicinal value. The Bible says anyone with a problem, irregardless of the problem, will straight away be healed, according to the Bible. Two interesting notes from this. Okay, number one, if you refer to the modern versions of the Bible, like the NIV and RSV, verse 4 is missing. Okay, now that's significant because in the Greek text, in the Old Testament, in the text that translated in the modern versions, okay, do not have this verse. All right, and possibly the reason is because many of the translators do not believe in the supernatural. They go for a rational belief in the faith. That's why many people today don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. But you know what? God is still as supernatural as He was. Amen? God is still above nature. He was the one who created nature, and God can heal as He decides. All right? So the stirring of the water was for anyone who will come to Him. The Bible also said there was one man. There was one man who was there. For how long? For how long? 38 years. That's a long time to be sick. He had an infirmity. The word infirmity means a disease. Something that happened to him that caused him to be brought there for 38 years. That's a long time to have an illness. Do you have a long-standing problem today in your life? Is there something that irks you in your life? If you're a Christian today, many Christians can go on in their livelihood, but they cannot press on in their Christian living. Can I say that again? Many Christians press on in their livelihood, but they don't press on in their Christian living. And it's interesting because this person in John chapter 10, verse 10, okay, not John chapter 10, verse 10, for those of you who can follow on in your in the verses, some of it is printed. The Bible says, "The thief cometh forth, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that they might have life." Jesus has come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Okay? And the Lord Jesus Christ promises anyone as a Christian who comes to Him to have an abundant life, a life that is full. The word abundant means full, wholesome, pleasurable, enjoyable, not in the sense of this world. Not that, wow, you mean every month I can go sabun party, every month I can go and have a good time. That is not the abundant life God is talking about. A life that's filled with joy, a life that's filled with joy is not dependent on your happenings. You are happy because of happenings. Joy comes from God. It is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that when you go through the trials, you can still be joyful. That is biblical joy. Does that make sense? Many people are happy in this world. You even have happy hour. In the army, you have happy hour. What do you do? Happy hour? Right? That's happy hour. Are you happy after that? You know, I was in the army. There was one time they drink a lot. And poor guys, we just graduated from a course and a commission. And then going to the mess and everyone, of course the chief instructor was there and all that, the majors were there. And they say, okay, you know how to treat these kind of people. Drink. And so as a Christian, I said, sir, with all due respect, I don't drink. Because my OC was there, he wasn't very happy. He said, "You want to make me malu in front of the CI? I know how to treat these people. For every beer they drink, you have to drink 3 packets of soft drink." Okay? That night, I finished all the coke in the mess, literally, and almost all the soft drink. But you know what? About 2, 3 a.m., I saw my friend in the toilet throwing up because of their beer. But I was going to the toilet, which is not too bad. I just go to the toilet, you know, because of lots of drink. You know what? A happy hour to the world is enjoying themselves. You know what happy hours is to the world? Enjoying the things of the flesh. Immorality, drugs, smoking, hanging out. That's the things of the flesh. And teenagers, you need to be absolutely careful with groups of friends that will take you down to, "Oh, I just want to enjoy myself. Anything difficult, I don't want to do." The world, Jesus doesn't mean this kind of abundant life. His abundant life is a life of joy, a life of growth, a life where you see families are strong, a life where children will obey parents and parents love their children, and where when you go to work, you do your best. Your boss appreciates your hard work. Sometimes you work your best, your boss may not appreciate your hard work, but you still have joy in your hearts that you're serving the King of Kings. Amen. You go to a job. And the joy that is abundant. Now, why is this man in this condition? What do you think this man is in this? Why was this man sick for 38 years? Anyone? Did you realize that the Bible gave a clue to us why this man was in this condition? Look at verse number 14 in John chapter 5. You know, that's a serious thought, because after he got healed, this man didn't know who healed him. But in John chapter 5, verse 14, notice what the Bible says. "And afterward, Jesus, finding him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Question for you. Why was this man sick for 38 years? It was because of sin in his life. Okay? Let me make something clear. Not all sicknesses, pain, or infirmity is because of sin. That's very clear from the Bible. Not everything is because of man's sin, okay? Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 3, there was a man who was born blind, okay? And Jesus healed him. Or rather, the disciples, the Jewish people came and looked at this man who was blind and said, did this man sin or the parents sin? And Jesus answered in John chapter 9, verse 3. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents. Jesus is very clear. Okay? To us, we have to be clear. The truth of life is not all illnesses are because of sin. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In other words, can I say this? God, in all his love, sometimes cause sicknesses so that it brings glory to him and it brings us back to him. Don't misunderstand God. I've known God for over 35 years, and some of you longer than that. But can I say this? In the heart of a God of love, there is nothing tragic in this life, but that it will bring us back to him and give him glory. And Christians, don't ever misunderstand God, because many Christians will go down this track. If this is God, why is this happening to me? Don't accuse God wrongly. God has never made a mistake before, amen? He has never made a mistake before. Now, why was this man in this condition? This man's condition, sickness was because of some sin that he did in the past. Because the Lord Jesus said this. Sin, the Bible says, is a transgression of the law. I say again, sin is a breaking of God's law. And no one can transgress the law of God without suffering the consequences of it. That's according to the scriptures. Because in Proverbs 13, verse 13, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. That's the truth of the Bible. All right? The man had sin in his life. Now, there are two long-standing problems in this life. One type is an external problem, something beyond your control. It could be an unreasonable boss, or it could be a bad situation. You know, when I think on the children in Boho, for example, in the Philippines, well, those guys really, you know, those children have no control over their situation. They are starving because this poverty, the whole island is just poor. You know, I was looking at these children. These children are just scrawny. You know, of course, there are a lot of medical studies about children who don't get enough nutrition. Their life will be affected. Their thinking will be affected. Their learning will be affected. But what can they do? Even their parents are hopeless. Hopeless as in, not that they want to be hopeless, they can't do anything. Okay, and I was reading one, and one of the 10, 11-month-old, I think, girl was dying. And the dad says, look, to get to the nearest hospital, I got to go past the sea, and then after that, another 2 hours walk, and then after that, and you know what they are doing? They're just hoping for the best. You know, those are situations that we can't control. You know, in some things in our lives, some things we can't control. Do you know what is God's counsel in those situations? The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us what? Run with patience the race. In situations you have no control over, endurance and perseverance is God's counsel to us. Does that make sense? In situations in which you cannot control, I cannot control, we live by patience and perseverance of God to press on, looking unto Jesus. When the Lord Jesus Christ went through all the ordeal for us at the cross, he had no control over that. He knew that was God's will. He knew if he didn't do it, you and I would die and go to a devil's hell. He submitted in patience and perseverance to that. And the Bible says at the end of it all, he saved us. Amen. Millions of people will be in heaven because of his perseverance. But there are second type of problems which could be caused by our own decisions that are contrary to the word of God. And that's a very, very important truth for us to note. When problems are caused by our own decisions and we are honest about it, we are then personally responsible to make things right. When the sin has not been dealt with, the consequences will grow, and this man has not dealt with that for 38 years. The Bible is very clear. Jesus came to him and said, do not sin anymore, lest a worse thing come on you. Many commentators have pointed to this and said it is perhaps because of some decision or thing he made in the past that he was struck with this for 38 years. Can I say this? Sin takes no prisoners. If Satan can destroy you, he will. Are you listening, children? If you make a decision that is contrary to what your dad and mom tells you from the Word of God, and you go down a wrong track, there are consequences. There are consequences. My son is a police officer, and every time he has to look and deal with situations where people just refuse to allow God to take care of them. Families are broken, teenagers into drugs, drinking, gangsters. Why? And in the middle of the night, 2, 3 a.m., why? They made a wrong decision. Do you not think that those parents at home, teenagers, would perhaps stay at home with a broken heart and say, where's my child? Why do they have to call the police to go and get them? Children, if you are not willing to listen now and you make a wrong decision, I beg the children. In my heart, there's this, the devil is after our children. And children, if you don't know the devil is after you, to destroy you from the start, so that you don't have a life that will honor him, you have a problem. And God has given you loving parents to say, hey, come to church. Read God's word. Walk with Christ. If you make a decision down the wrong track, you will be personally responsible to handle that. This man did not handle the right decisions. The Bible is very clear. Sin is a transgression of the law, which means that if God says to love and we hate, that's a transgression of the law. If God says to give and we hold back, that's a transgression of the law. If God says to serve and we don't, that's a transgression of the law. The moment we break God's law, we get the consequences of that. Does that make sense? And these are in the little things of life. Something sometimes we think is not important. If we leave things to fester, it will grow to the point that we cannot handle it. Remember Samson? Samson? Samson was one of the judges of the Old Testament. God used him mightily. But you know what? His life was corrupted. With woman, with wine, with full of selfish desires. And nothing could satisfy him except his flesh. And he wants things only after his flesh. And God had to deal with him. How? By digging out his eyes. And later on, killing him. Of course, he completed God's will. But Samson's life, I don't think that. Well, see, Samson also lived a corrupted life but still fulfilled God's will. Please don't have that thought, teenagers and children. Please don't think, oh, Samson also fulfilled God's will. Why? You know, he. No, his life was a disaster. Can you imagine the heartbreak in the heart of the mom and dad? To see his own son's eyes gouged out and later on die. You know, we make decisions. Galatians 5, verse 9. Make no mistake, a little leaven leaveneth a whole lump, a small yeast. Yeast. You know what's yeast? Yeast grows. The Bible says a small sin can affect the whole thing. Which was why in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, just follow along this track. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Wow, you mean, how many of you read recently there was one teenager who supposedly was very spiritual? And he said something he felt was wrong. So he's blasphemed the name of Islam or something. And he actually went back home and chopped off his own hand and presented his hand to the imam. And everyone clapped. Oh, this imam said, well, this is a good boy. Jesus, I hope we don't come next week with many people here. Pastor, I cut off my hand. That is not what God means. When Jesus says, if thy hand or thy foot offend you, in other words, if something in your life causes you to sin, Jesus says, take the most drastic action to get rid of it. If internet is your main problem, if Android phone is your main problem, you know what you do? Dad and mom, you keep my Android phone. I don't need the phone. Like I say, children, you don't need handphone unless you're doing big business. Okay? Of course, maybe if you go down the street, the mom need to contact you. The phone is for what? Communication, not games. But of course, they want to sell more. But you need to be very clear. If your internet is destroying you, you know what you need to do? Some of you are seeing things, teenagers or whoever. If you see things on the internet you're not supposed to see, that is, the internet is your offense. You know what you need to do? Cut off your subscription or get rid of your computer. Or be responsible. Put your computer not in your room, in the hall where everyone can see you. Take drastic measures to deal with those things. Jesus said, if you don't do it that way, you are continuing in sin and it will fester. There will be consequences. There will be consequences. Now, which of the two problems do you think this man has? He was in sin and now he's suffering the consequences. God can forgive. God can forgive any sin, amen? God's love is so great, so perfect that every time we come to Him, He will forgive 100% from His heart. But you know what? Sometimes there are consequences. Do you know why I preach hard sometimes? For some of us children who do not listen, one of the things that will happen is, you know, the consequences may not just be on you, but on the family as well. God can forgive. He can forgive, but there will be consequences. Listen carefully. There is no sin so great, no consequences so extensive that the grace of God cannot help and cannot solve. Amen? Do you believe in that God? I believe with all my heart how Lord Jesus Christ is so compassionate that He would look at the most broken and vile woman and turn her into a precious, pure lady for Jesus Christ. God can take anything and change anything. You know, let me just give you a few verses to reinforce this, lest you think it's my thought. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. God says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, deep, dark red. It's so deep that no one can change it. God says, let us reason together. You know what God's calling us today? Let's come to the negotiating table. Let's come to the negotiating table. What do you have in your life that you think you can't fix? Let's negotiate. Let's come. That's what he's saying. Come and let us reason together. Let's negotiate. You know, some of us negotiate a lot. But have you considered negotiating with God about your life? That's what God is saying. Come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let's look at Isaiah 43, verse 24, 25. Oh, I love this passage. The Bible says, "Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins." You know who's speaking there? Do you know who's talking there? God. God. Isaiah 43, verse 24, 25. God says, "I'm your master, but you have brought me no sweet cane with money." In other words, what sacrifice have you made for me? "Neither hast thou filled in the fat of thy sacrifice." What's the best of your sacrifices? The fat refers to the best part. "But thou hast made me serve with thy sins." You have made me participate in your kind of Christianity and made me serve together with that. That's what God is saying here. "Thou hast wearied me with thy sins, thy iniquities." But you know the last part? God says that even though you pull me through that dirt, I'm the one who will blot out your iniquities. You know, the blotting out of iniquities is a very interesting Old Testament phrase. It means removing the account that you owe to God. Everything that we have against God says, "I will blot out your iniquities." That's our God. In other words, it's just as if you have never sinned. That's justification. Our God, please listen to this. Many people's lives are broken because they try to rectify the situation. You know, how do you deal with the brokenness of life? It's going back to a God who intended you to be whole in the first place. Amen? And I want us to listen to this very important, because the Bible says, later on, I, he that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. He will not remember. Some people, have you ever asked the question, can God ever forget? Do you realize God cannot forget? He cannot forget because he's God. He knows everything. But you know what God says? "I will not remember." That's an active phrase. You know what he means? I know what's wrong against you, but I'm not going to bring it out against you anymore. It's just like if I think recently in America, I think 1 or 2 years ago, remember there was this white gunman who went into a black church and shot some of the members, killing some of them? That in the court of law, the members testifying tell this white man, "We forgive you. Even though you killed my son, we forgive you." That's the type of love Jesus shows to us. It's wiped clean. In other words, I can go out to this murderer and hug him. Jim Elliot, one of the missionaries, was killed by the Yucca Indians. Some of you may know. You know what happened? The wife of Jim Elliot went in to this group of people who killed the husband and won them to Jesus Christ. Today, 60 years later, the villagers that killed Jim Elliot are Christians today. Why? Because the wife totally forgave. God can do that. You know, as I look around, if there's brokenness in your life, God can heal that. God can bring us back. Romans 5:20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." What does that mean? You know, sometimes, "Brother Johnny, I'm guilty." You know, the more we talk about the law, the more it condemns. The law only condemns. Did you know that? If I don't steal, for example, then I'm free. But if I stole, every police officer that walked past, is he after me? Because I'm a thief. And the more you talk about stealing, the more I'll be convicted about stealing. But you know what Jesus says? "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." God's grace is so overwhelming that there is no sin in this entire universe that God cannot forgive and cannot not just cover but remove and give us abundant life as a result. You know what's so marvelous about God? He can take the most broken things and make something beautiful out of it. God can take out the most broken things in this life and come out with the most beautiful things. How do I know? There is no one so far from God who is truly God's that God cannot pull back. But there is always two sides to the restoration. Number one, God's invitation, and number two, man's response. God continually invites men to come back, and he's waiting for men, but we need to respond. In this passage, which I will just go through quickly, four quick points. How do I know from this passage the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with this man and help him? No, of all the diseased, do you realize one thing? Of all the diseased people, have you realized that the Bible said there were multitudes of impotent, weak, withered people? Jesus spoke to only him. In the passage, Jesus only went to this guy. You know why? Perhaps he was the most serious, and perhaps in God's will, God is coming to this person and said, do you know what Jesus said to him? Let's look at the verse in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse number 6. What did Jesus come to him and say? Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus came. Perhaps the man wasn't expecting anything. Jesus came to him and said, wilt thou be made whole? Perhaps you come to church just expecting to just worship and go home. Maybe the Lord Jesus wants to interrupt you in your sequence of life and say, wilt thou be made whole? The word whole there is very interesting. It's the word that we get the word healing from. Do you want to be healed? Four truths from the Bible about God's requirements for help. Number one, notice firstly the willingness of our Savior to help him. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, the first thing he came to him, do you want to get better? Do you want to get better? Wilt thou be made whole? The willingness of the Savior to help. When the Savior asks in the Bible, he means it to help. God is ever ready to help us. Did you know that? There is nothing, but God stands ready to help us. The Bible says, Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very what? Present help in times of need. You know what? Even before you ask it, God's already there. Amen. God already knows what's in your heart. All he wants you to do is to articulate that to him. All he wants you to do is say, I'm here to help you. How many of you as teachers, or maybe some people say, you have the answer. The student just say, how many of you have worked with children who when you try to help them, they push your hand away? You know what? You're already there. God's already there. Christians, can I say that? The Lord Jesus stands ready to help us. He stands ready to help us. Proverbs 18 verse 24, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ is so close that he's just beside you. You know what? More than that, as Christians, Jesus lives inside of us. He's so close to us. Psalm 145 verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto thou them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. God is more willing to help us sometimes than we are to ask him. You know why? We prefer our own ways of thinking. That's pride. That's pride. We prefer our own ways of thinking. None of us, including myself, is exempt from that. Humans are proud. We would rather go it our own way. Yes. I know already. How many times? You know, I'm guilty of this. If you're honest, all of us are somewhere. You're guilty of this. Don't tell me, I know already. If you know, then why are you not doing? Right. But I want to highlight the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ stands ready to help. God, ever loving, ever compassionate, ever merciful, stands with his children and say, look, would you come to me that you can get help? Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things that thou knowest not of. Call unto me. Call unto me. That tells you that God is ready. God's willingness to help. This point is important. God's willingness to help is always contingent upon those who will call on him. God cannot and will not help those who will not call on him in sincerity and in truth. Many times we pray, but we run away from the prayer after that. We pray, but we think we are thinking our own ways, but yet God says, when you call unto me, you stay with me, you follow what I tell you. Okay? And in Psalm 55 verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. That's an assurance. Which leads us to the next point. Number one, the willingness of the Savior to help. But number two, when Jesus asked the question, wilt thou be made whole? You know what he's asking? He is trying to get the consent of the person to help. This is a very important truth for us as Christians. There are many people in dire situations. God can't intervene unless you give consent. Unless you say, yes, Lord. Unless you're willing to submit to Him. The consent of the will. God does not intervene in our lives without our willing consent. And maybe that's the reason why many Christians are still not growing. They refuse to deal. They have not given their willing consent to God to deal with the situations in their life. In Mark chapter 10, verse 51, Jesus answered and said, "What would thou that I should do unto thee?" This blind man said, "Lord Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus came, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's obvious, right? Duh. My eyes, I can't see, don't you know? You know, we have that kind of attitude with God. No. You know, we have, "Can't you see? I'm calling you because I want you to heal my eyes." You know what Jesus says? "What do you want me to do?" Jesus doesn't play games. We can, in funny ways, try to talk to God. "Can't you see? I'm in dire need. I'm obviously God." You know what we are doing when we do that? Not taking responsibility for our own problems. "No, can't you see?" No, Jesus says, "Can't you see that you need help?" You know why? God wants us to realize that He's not going to intervene unless we are willing to allow Him to consent. Of course, the blind man then says, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." The Lord Jesus healed many physically. I want to be clear about this as a qualifier here. Because some people say, "No, Brother Johnny, some people got healed without His consent." The Lord Jesus healed many physically in His ministry on earth. All that were sick were brought to Him, and the Bible says He healed them all. Yes, the Bible is very clear. Matthew chapter 15. "And when Jesus knew it, He withdrew Himself from them, and great multitudes followed, and He healed them all." It is also true that God did heal physically or help in our situation that will bless us and help us along our lives that may not necessarily be consented to. But can I say this? Every good thing that happened to your life, God blesses it and you can move on in your life. Would you agree with me? Everything, every good thing and every perfect gift comes from God, whether you acknowledge it or not. Our God is so good that He will even give rain to the non-believers. That's why in some people in the non-believing countries, they are still having rain. Why? Because God blesses them. He loves them. He's kind. God does bless us even though we don't consent to it. Why? He knows it will do us good. Just like a father who will feed a rebellious son because it is necessary for his nutrition. Amen? Just like God will just give good things to those people because that is part and parcel of their livelihood. That's just part of God's awesome love for us. But you know what? God's not going to intervene in the area of sin or some areas that you need to change without you consenting. Because you know why? If God wants you to change, you need to change. And I'm not talking about just putting away things. It's a lifestyle change. The same thing God is calling us as Christians to do. Example, the paralytic man with four friends. Remember, there was one man who was he was paralyzed. Four friends brought him. And Jesus, based on the faith of the four friends, healed this man. Was it with His consent? No. Was it good for him? Yes. Did he bring glory to God? Yes. That's why God heals. God has His marvelous plan. The young man who died, but Jesus raised him from the dead. Remember, there was a widow of Nain, right? Was it, did the dead man give consent? No, he was dead. Was it good for the mother? Did it bless the mother? Yes, it did. God does all things to bless us, whether we acknowledge Him or not. That's our God. He's a loving God. The 10 lepers who were healed, and one came back. You know those people who healed and they just glorified God and went on their way. Sorry, they just went on their way, didn't glorify God, but only one man came back. There are physical aspects that God can see fit to improve in our lives. But you know, in John chapter 5, verse 13, 14, this man who had this sin, he was made better in his outward circumstances, but he was not warned about his sinful condition. He don't even know that it was Jesus who healed him. Some of us are blessed by God. Let me ask you a question. This is very important. We can improve in our physical condition and situation and yet not drawn to Christ. You can be blessed in your careers and yet not drawn to Christ. You can make decisions in your life and yet not drawn to Christ. The 10 lepers, all were healed. God's awesome love and grace. Only one came back. And Jesus actually asked, weren't there 10 healed? Where were the 9? We can draw close to God around, we can be, God can bless us in our situation, and we may still just remain in our condition, just like this man. He was healed. He was on his way. He didn't even know that Jesus was the one who healed him. Is it possible for us as Christians, when God improves our situation, when our bank accounts get a bit bigger, our jobs get better, we are more comfortable with our life, but we are not drawn towards God, His Word, His will, and His work? And that's something that's so urgent for this day. Remember the 10 lepers, only one man came back. Number one is, the consent of the will, God does not intervene in our lives, loving, but the question that Jesus asks seeks to also expose our helplessness. You know, when Jesus asked this man, "Would thou be made whole?" You know what the man says, "Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into a spot, but when I'm coming, someone else comes down before me." You know, some of us may not be in that situation with a, "I want God's help, but I'm helpless. I feel helpless." This man has been there for 38 years. I was speaking with, I think, Brother Tim Toriano. He had knee problems just like me, okay? And he was sharing with me that he was told if a person do not use his muscles for 3 days or something, yeah, your muscles starts to get weak. And if you don't use your muscles for 2 months, you get even weaker. If you haven't used your muscles for 38 years, you can't walk. And this man, I was just trying to dig in my mind as I read through the passage. You know, if you cannot walk, you can use your hand, right? You can, like, crawl to the poolside, right? And I realized many people are saying that these people, not only can't he walk, he was bedridden, he just cannot do anything anymore, even with his hands. He was helpless. When Jesus asked the question, "Will thou be made whole?" is to highlight the helplessness of our situation. If you're in a situation, you've been there a long time, and you have learned to live with it, it could be that you have never come to Christ, and it could be that even though you have a desire, God is saying, "Do you really want to?" But you have to come to a place, "God, I want to, but I can't." Many Christians, I have heard this before. So, "Would you like one help?" "Don't worry, I can do it." But you know what? 2-3 months later, the person wants to commit suicide. "Do you need help?" "No, don't worry, I'm fine." It's like, the person doesn't want help. Can I say this? All of us need help. All of us need help, myself included. It's just I get my help from somewhere else. Veteran missionaries and pastors who will counsel me. But all of us need help. And some of us also ask you about certain things that I'm not good at. All of us need help. But you know, if you are stuck in a situation that says, "God, I can't," maybe Jesus wants us to realize we are helpless and we need help. I was just reading through, this man has been sick for 38 years, cannot walk. He has no strength to enable him. Apparently, he has no money to hire someone to carry him. And apparently, some people have mentioned the bystanders. It's very easy for the bystanders, "Hey, quick, bring this person." No one was compassionate enough to bring him in. You know, as a side note, for Christians, there are many people who need someone to bring them to Christ. And if we don't, no one else will. The world is not going to bring a non-believer to Christ. But you know what? Many Christians stand by and do nothing as well. Oh, may this be a conviction as I read this verse. When this man says, "Sir, when the water is stirred, there is no man to bring me there." May this be a conviction in the hearts of us as Christians. And coming back to this, the bystanders, whether they are sick or they are okay, have no mercy or sympathy for him. But the third point, under the consent of the will, these questions also highlight clearly whether or not we want to truly deal with it. Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus is asking this, do you want to get better? You know, if you are sick, how many of you are sick now? No, I just want to. Oh yeah, Brother June. Do you want to get better? First thing you do, yes! But you know, this person is like giving it, he's helpless. And you know what? It could be that God just wants us to make it very sure. Are you sure you want to be healed? It means that you are going to go out of your comfort zone. It means that you have to take out your bed and walk. It means that you no longer get to fellowship with the other person who is impotent. You know, some of us like to wallow in our problems, wallow in all these things, and yet Jesus says, will thou be made whole? How many Christians continue in sin for a long time, continue in problems for a long time, simply because they are too proud to come and say, I need help. I need help. And you know what? Can I say that lovingly as a pastor? We need to come to a place, there are people around. Jesus is asking us, will you be made whole? Make a decision. Do you want to continue in that state? Do you want your children to continue in that state? Do you want to, whatever that's happening in your life, are you content to just go on like that? And can I say this? When Jesus asks a question, it's a life-changing question. He is no longer going to stay there if he says yes. And bless God, Jesus says, rise up and walk, he's out. And the Bible says he was made whole. After I touch on that. But dear friends, we need to come to a point. Jesus asks the questions. He wants a consent. There's 2 points. God's invited. God's always inviting us to come back to him. Amen. He's always saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. He's always saying that. In fact, the Bible hasn't changed for the last 2,000 years. He's always come. But you know what? The thing that God can't control is our response. And Jesus is asking today, wilt thou be made whole? The question clarifies our intention for God's help. Christ stands willing to help anyone who has a wish for it. And even more, you know what God does? Sometimes he will create a situation to help us make a decision. Some of us have been in a situation, perhaps, I don't know, for a long time. Concerned brethren comes, you get an SMS. God puts things in your life to try to encourage you towards a direction. Are you sensitive to that or are you pushing it away? That's pride. So God, I am the decider of my own destiny. That's pride. God has given the church, the word, the will, Christian friends. God wants us to move towards the consent of the will. That we will give to God the opportunity. God, you take care of my life. God wants to intervene, but he will not until we call. Psalm 55, verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God. And the Lord shall save me. Some of us here, our prayers will never be answered because we have never learned to do the things God wants us to do. To forgive, to let go, to love, to serve. Some of us will never be effective for the Lord because we have never learned to give up sin. Now I'm especially concerned for young people as you grow up. You can have a choice, a life that is your own or a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. For our friends who have never trusted Christ, please recognize that when Jesus asks this, he stands ready to help. Would thou be made whole? Or do you want to stay in that condition? If you will not consent, it means you will remain there unchanged. But if you say yes, then the next step is important. Point number 3, the necessity of obedience. The necessity of obedience. When Jesus said, would thou be made whole? This man says, Lord, perhaps I could read it into it by saying, maybe Jesus read in it to give him the benefit of the doubt. He actually wants to, but he cannot do it. Okay, it's a benefit of the doubt. The Bible never says anything. But it seems to suggest the Lord Jesus Christ immediately when he says, no man there to help me, Jesus says, all right, rise up, take up your bed and walk. Rise up, take up your bed and walk. He was asked to rise, take up thy bed and walk. In being whole, there is a necessity of obedience. The word would thou be made whole? The word whole has to do with healing. The Greek word has the idea of healing. And I've been thinking about healing for a long time. And this, in fact, I know it was about 15 years ago when I first went in ministry, there's this person, he's a youth leader from another church, and I didn't know he was into some psychological type. He was talking about healing of the mind, healing of the emotions and all that kind of thing. I was thinking, getting the healing. Lord, where's healing in the Bible? Jesus healed, of course, he made whole. But in being whole, in being healed, there is a necessity of obedience to God's word. A necessity of obedience to God's word. A return to God always involves following God's ways again. Would you agree with me? A return to God always involves following what God says in the word again. Now, what do you think, what I think, what God thinks? In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 2, some of these verses may not be there. I'll just read it, just listen. thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart, with all thine soul. Notice the completeness of the return. You will return to me, you will obey my voice according to all that I command thee, not just you. I expect you to teach your children, and I expect you to do it with all your heart and all your soul. That's the completeness of obedience. Nehemiah 1 verse 9. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of seals cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence. In Nehemiah he is praying that God, you said, if we turn to you and do your commandments, you are going to bring us back. In John 15 verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. The word abiding has to do with the words are kept in the heart. It is followed diligently as kind of a formula for life. If you will just obey me, Jesus says, you're going to ask what you want, I'll give it to you. Because why? There's an interaction, there's a close relationship with Jesus Christ. I was doing a bit of thinking about this whole area of healing of the individual. Well, I believe the Bible has a key to be healed. To be whole, the key to be whole, you know what? The key to be healed in whatever instances is obedience to the Word of God. I'll give you four illustrations from Scripture. Number one, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119 verse 9. You want cleansing? You want to be whole? By taking heed to God's word, number one. Number two, in Luke chapter 17, verse 14 to 15, Jesus said, and he saw them. Remember the 10 lepers? These 10 lepers? After that, he says, Master, Lord, have mercy on us. What did Jesus say? Go and show thyself to the priest. That was an instruction. Okay? And what the Bible says in verse 1, when he saw them, he said unto them, go show thyself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now I was thinking on meditating upon this. Listen, this is so important. Okay, I'll give you a third illustration. A teacher tells the class, all right, you have to study these three chapters, do the tutorials, you will pass. And then some students say, "Sir, why three chapters? Why not two?" Some, "Sir, chapter two very long, no? Can cut short, no?" The teacher will say, you study these three chapters, you do the tutorials, you will pass. Sure, I got CCA, no. Some more, national finals. Three chapters, do the tutorials, you will pass. Another student says, I'm just going to... we can argue too. There was one time I wanted to go to an open house and my maths teacher, I still remember Mrs. Young, she's a Christian, thank God. She was very wise. He said, she wanted to give us maths homework. That's like 4 on O level. So I said, but we need to go to open house. That's what I told her. Just because I want to go there, you know, the institution, JC or whatever. She wisely said, if you don't do my maths homework, you will not go to the JC. At that time, I was kind of, like that one. Later, I reflected, it's right. If I don't do the homework, I don't dream of going there. What makes you think you can go to your direction without following what God says in your life? But you know what? If the moment one of the students said, look, teachers say, study three, do the tutorials, I'll pass. Okay, I will study. Will he pass? That's the beginning of healing. Did you get that? That's the beginning when you say, yes, Dad, I'll listen to you. That's the time you start to get healed. Not before, not after. That's the beginning when you allow and obey God at what He tells us to do. When you give your heart and soul, say, Lord, your word, nothing else. The fourth illustration, the psalmist David had a problem, didn't he? He committed adultery, he murdered Uriah. And the Bible says in Psalm 32, verse 3 to 5, turn there if you like. This is one of the God knows the mind. God knows what happens. This is one of the passages many Christian so-called psychologists would use for psychosomatic illnesses. Okay? In Psalm 32, verse 3-5, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. For day and night thy hand were heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. What does it mean? When David said, look, when I was sinning against God, I knew I was wrong, but I didn't want to confess it. I knew I was selfish. I knew I was personal in all my decision making. And when I kept silent, I didn't want to confess my sin. My bones waxed old through my roaring all day. I was affected from the inside. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. God's conviction was there. My moisture is turned to dry of summer. The refreshment that I should feel all became dry. Have you ever felt that way, that the reading of God's word becomes dry? It could be an attitude. It could be, mommy asked me to read the Bible again. I don't want that. You know what that said? That's an issue of the heart. But the Bible says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. The moment David says, look. Remember Prophet Nathan, the story? After David has sinned, he has been in sin probably about a year. How do I know it's about a year? A child was born, right? Probably 9 months to 12 months, I don't know, about a year. Prophet Nathan came to him. Prophet Nathan said there was this man, he had a kid, but then the king came and took it away, killed him. So what should you do? And King David said, what you need to kill that person. Who took away. How dare he take a small lamb of someone who's so poor? And Prophet Nathan said, you are the man. You are a king. I gave you so much blessings, and you had to take away the wife of one of your soldiers. You know what David says? You are right. I'm wrong. That was when healing started. Children, can I say this, and parents as well? The time that you will see, children, are you listening? The time of healing begins when you are willing to obey what God tells you to do with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your heart. I'm afraid there are many half-hearted type of commitments that doesn't follow through because we have never really obeyed. Obedience has to be mixed with a whole heart and a whole mind and a whole soul. The Bible says, Proverbs 20, verse 3, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I'll give you one more illustration. My mom told me many times when she was sick, very sick, and my grandfather would carry her from where? Emerald Hill. And I would run to Si Pai Po. You know Si Pai Po? SGH. Okay? And she was sick, and my grandfather would carry, because we were too poor to travel, to carry her all the way from Emerald Hill, which is Center Point area, all the way to SGH, you know. And what if the doctor said, hey, we need to give her injection? And then the father said, no, cannot, too painful for her. You need injection, otherwise it's not get better. No, cannot. You know what? There will be no healing for my mom. But you know what? If my grandpa would say, fine, do anything you need to get her better. All right, put her down. We're going to inject. Of course, she may scream and shout. I don't know. Why not? She can get healed. The time we consent for God to intervene, that's where healing starts. In obedience to God's will. You may not know all the picture. You may not know all the ramifications. But say, God, not my will, but thine. That's when things start to change. Because that's when you surrender your will and you're willing to obey. Obedience to God's word is so important in the life of a believer in every area of it. You want genuine healing in your life? Obey God's word as it is. Because God's word is alive. It has the healing that you need. Many people are bitter in life. Why? They haven't chosen to learn to forgive. Many people go through life angry. Why? Because they have never learned to obey God and says, are you one of them? Are you one of them? You know, I've spoken to so many people, and in the course of talking to them, many times, there was one man, well, this particular man is still he got from bad to worse. But you know, at the time, one of his children were attending our Sunday schools, and we were visiting with him, and we asked him why, and I know, so I got other things to do, you know, and there was one thing when I said, hey, why don't you come back to God, and why are you looking for help in other areas? And he was saying, Brother Johnny, if someone is thirstier, any brand of mineral water will do. What he was meaning is, if I'm in trouble, any area I can get help from, I will grab. Does that make sense? That's what he means, any brand. And then God gave me a word from the Bible in the book of John to say that I'm the living water. Remember Jesus said that? The moment I said that, he had tears in his eyes. And we were silent for about 5 minutes. I knew God was speaking to his heart. You're going for the wrong brand. You need to go for the living brand. Amen. But you know what? Up to today, he's still rejected. His 18-year-old daughter has moved out and lived with a boyfriend. His 16-year-old daughter doesn't even want to come to church. Thankful that the youngest one still wants to come. When you reject God's word, when God shows us clearly and we reject it, God says, if anyone despises my word, there will be consequences. And God does not lie. And I'm here to tell you, as you begin this year, 2016, when God shows us something, act on it. Do you know why? Turn to Deuteronomy 6, verse 18. And I'll show you why from God's word. Deuteronomy 6, verse 18. After I have one more point, and we'll finish. Deuteronomy 6, verse 18, the Bible says, let me just read, listen, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Not in your own sight, not in your own thinking, but in sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you. Do you know why God asks us to obey him? It's for our good. It's for our good. How many dads will say, if you study hard, you will have better opportunities. If you will learn to pray, you will grow. You know why? Dad and mom have the good for the child, you know. Children, can I say this? Listen, when mom and dad ask us to do the right thing, at the end of the life, we may not be around to see or even experience the goodness. But guess who will enjoy it? You. Do you agree? Would you agree? Then mom will go. Those who trust Christ will go to heaven. But who's going to benefit if you would follow? You. Sometimes we feel that God says, if you will do that, it's right in my sight, it will be what? Well, peaceful, smooth with you. Yeah, he didn't say that you will not get any problems, but you know what? It will be well with you. That thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore unto thy father. Of course, in the context, it refers to the promised land. Deuteronomy was the second law before the Israelites went in. But you know, it's an eternal principle. And God says that you will listen to me, you'll be blessed. That's an abiding principle that God gives us. Isaiah 1:19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. That's a principle that if we obey God, God's blessings is on us. And one final point, the blessing of faith. Obedience must always be mixed with faith. Must always be mixed with faith. When you obey God, some people say, okay lah. You know some people say, okay lah, you want me to follow, I follow lah. I do lah. That's not faith. That's actually rebellion. I do law. You have children like that? I do law. You know, when God tells us to do something, remember the person that instructs us is loving, all grace, all compassion. And he says, if you do it, I'll bless you. Okay, we do that. That is not the appropriate response. You know what's the appropriate response as God speaks to our heart? Say, Johnny, you need to be tighter. You know, over this course of this many years, many months and weeks in my life, and God has been convicting me of a lot of backslidings in areas of my life that I need to take note of. It's no longer about me, it's about God. And I wish that for you, that you will realize your life will head down a dead end unless you allow the King of Kings the way, the truth, and the life to govern our lives. We need to put faith. You know what happened to this man? He walked. He has never walked in 38 years. He carried his bed. He has never carried anything in 38 years. He was restored to his former life. Amen? Because he obeyed. He was cured because of Christ, not because of his own abilities. Jesus was there. He said, rise up and walk. All he did was follow and I'm healed. He was healed. Christ's cure oftentimes is not what... Christ sometimes cures us. Oftentimes, you know, when we want things to get better, we have our own way how it should be done. Right? Not with God. You need to say, God, I want to be cured your way. Do what you want with me. And you know what? God's way is always the best way. Always the best way. Christ's cure oftentimes come not according to what we think, but according to his goodness. But you know, as we put faith in Christ, Christ also warned him about his condition. Don't go back to where you came from. You were here for 38 years because of your sin. Don't go back there again. You know, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, let me just read. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath healed you, hath made thee whole. Spiritually, there are many people in darkness, even as Christians. You know, I believe one thing. You stop looking at our situation, start looking at Christ. Start saying, God, if your word tells me to do this, I'm just going to obey it. I don't know what are the implications or whatever, but I know that if you know what's best and I follow you, God, I'm going to have the best life. It's as simple as that. I've been called a simpleton, a simplistic person. Say, why, like that only? Well, that's what God says. What more do I have to add? You know, there was one man who says, God's will, no more, so nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. You need to learn to just put, you want to be healed, you want to be whole from your situation, you need to come back. Ambassador Baptist Church needs to be a church that obeys God's word wholeheartedly. Some of you do have things in your families and your life you know is there. And the only way is to answer the question that Jesus asked, will thou be made whole? Teenagers, it's time to stop blaming your parents or your situation or what you have. I cannot do right because of so and so. It's time to say, I will take responsibility for the situations, whether it's relationships, whether it's whatever that comes out in your life. You know what is that. And some of us have to get right with people. You know, you just need to do that before God. Jesus still asks the question today, will thou be made whole? Are you willing to be whole? Those who are older, maybe those who are older in life, you may have certain things that you've looked back and say, hey, I blew this. You know what? We need to come to a place and say, God, I'm sorry I blew that there. Because sometimes we are pressing on in life, we forgot that actually God is constantly reminding us, hey, this is something you need to deal with. We need to just say, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to go back there. I confess my sin. For you who are not Christians, can I say this? God can't help you unless you come to him. I'm not here to force you, but can I show you the love of Christ even before in our sin, in our selfishness, in our own pride? The Lord Jesus Christ still died on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, plural, for they don't know what you're doing. The Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Bible says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know why we want to go our own way? Because we don't want to come to the light. If we come to the light, we have to admit we are wrong. If we come to the light, we have to humble ourselves. If we come to the light, we have to cast off our selfishness. If we come to the light, we need to get rid of the darkness in our life and say, God, you are the light. And I've come to the light. Yes, I'm proud. I was selfish. It's all about me, Lord. But not now. I've seen your love, God. It's all about you now. And you know what? The moment you do that, that's the time that things starts getting better. Because when you come to Jesus and allow him to take control of your life, all things are passed away. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'll finish with this verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things are become new. The word become is in the continuous Greek tense. It is becoming new, becoming fresh. We can keep growing. I'll ask this question. Will thou be made whole? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the attention of your people. Lord, we commit this whole message into your hands because there's nothing in my words that is going to change the mind of any man or woman. But Lord, there's everything in your word, in your Holy Spirit, that will change. Lord, I'm thankful for what you have done and will be doing. Perhaps, Lord, there's a Christian here who is saying, yes, Lord, I've been in this for 38 years. Symbolically, perhaps, I've been in this for a long time. Yes, I want you to make me whole. I do not know all that I need to do, but I want to be whole. And remember, embedded in that, there is the sense of obedience. Lord, I pray that you teach us. The Lord is plain obedience to your word once again. That we will minus all the sins and all the things in our lives that shouldn't be there. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. Just let me ask you a question. It's a time what we call invitation that you can respond to the message. I don't know your heart, God does. And if you are here today and say, Brother Pastor Johnny, God has spoken to me in some area of my life. I say again, I'm a pastor. I don't know. I'm a man. I don't know your heart, but I just want to pray for you. So someone say, God has spoken to me in the word. And I know there are certain things in my life that just need to get right. And I'm pushing it away. But I'm saying yes to God. Pastor, would you pray for me? Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. Just put it up. Put it down. Amen. I see the hand. Put it up. Put it down. You know what the area is. Go to God. Bring it to Christ. Straight away right now. If you are struggling, can I just encourage you? Just put up the right hand. I'll pray for you that God will give you strength. Is there someone like that? Is there someone like that? Whether a man or a woman? Is there someone like that? All right? If you are here today, you're not a Christian. Say, Brother Johnny, I need Christ. I need Him to help me. But I don't know how to start. I just want to know more about Christ. Look, we're not here to force you. We're not here to want your money. We just want to show you that Jesus is the answer. Is there someone like that? Christians praying. Is there someone like that? Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. If you put up your hand, I'll get someone to show you from the Bible. That's all. And for you to make your own decision at the end. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. All right. Father, we thank you for the brethren that put up their hands. Father, there's nothing good in us. There's everything good in you, Lord. Because our God is all good. All compassion, all love. Heavenly Father, we're not here to play games. But God, you're here to change our lives. Not because of what I said, because of what your word says. Heavenly Father, I pray for every Christian who has put up their hands. Heavenly Father, please, some of them have tender hearts. They need you, Lord, to nurture and lead. Some of them have faith that is not so strong, like many of us. Some of them, Lord, really need your step-by-step guidance. And Father, we know that your Holy Spirit will do what's best for them as they yield to you. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will please take these hearts and grow them. Lord, you have invited us to come. And Lord, I pray and thank you, Lord, that these brethren, some of them have raised their hands for prayer that they might walk with you and learn your word. I pray for them specifically that you add to their faith, add to the grace in their lives, add, Lord, that they might grow in Christ. Father, I pray for other brethren who may be struggling in their hearts. But I'm confident, Lord, that as they learn to yield to you, you will make that change in their lives. Heavenly Father, it's not about me. It's not about the church. It's about you and them. Lord, I thank you for the love of Christ that's so embedded in our lives. Lord, I pray for one who may not know Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray, Lord, they will begin to say yes to you. Because you're all love, all mercy. Yet, Lord, you're all holiness, because you've got to deal with that sin. Lord, we thank you. Sing a closing hymn. I'm just praying, Lord, their lives will change like this man who was there for 38 years. And when Jesus came in, Lord, you spoke only to him and you healed him as you saw a need in his life. Help us all to respond, Lord, to your question, will thou be made whole? We'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.